Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room Podcast. Ryan Green, Rob Misch here to talk UNLV BYU. At this point, we've pretty much talked all about the stink that was what was left over from last weekend's 63-28 UNLV loss at UNR. That was bad. And now we look forward to what I think was a cougar.
That was a cougar. A little bit of laryngitis, and also there was a little bit of a cheesy double beef burrito in there. But it was so good.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because the Cougars have a very good chance to get fat and happy this week against UNLV with a defense that, to say the least, is struggling.
Yes.
To say the very least.
Yes.
773 yards given up last week, and what do they get in return? They get to play BYU, who, as everyone knows, as prolific an offensive football team west of the Mississippi as you're going to find.
Absolutely. Talked a little bit with Max Hall yesterday, and boy, he really comes in with some impressive numbers. He's passed for 1,403 yards. That's ninth overall in NCAA statistics. But of those top nine, he has a 9.17 yards per attempt rate, and that is outdone only by Greg Alexander of Hawaii. So they know how to move the ball. They know how to score points, and as usual, they're prolific.
And they've shown they can win two kinds of games this year because, of course, when you talk BYU, everyone's going to bring up the 14-13 victory over Oklahoma, down at in Jerry World in Arlington, Texas, to open the season. You know, they won a grinder of a game where they needed a clutch fourth-quarter drive by Max Hall. He led it with about 6 minutes left. They held on for the win. It's funny because it was it kind of resembled the game that BYU took from UNLV last year, trailing 35-34 with about 6-7 minutes left in the game, drove all the way down the field, scored a touchdown near the goal line, got the two-point conversion, 142-35. But on the same token, you know, after the BCS dreams kind of died with that big, huge loss to Florida State at home, they've come back and silently, you know, kind of under the radar, they've gotten themselves back on track the last couple weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Florida State taught them a real good lesson. Just as far as, you know, staying within yourself. Max Hall said something pretty interesting about maybe the biggest thing he learned from that game, and the offense learned, is, you know, sometimes you have to go toe-to-toe with some other guys. You're going to have to be efficient on every single series. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have to go outside your game plan, you know, and be a little diverse. And so I think that taught them a lot as far as, you know, staying within themselves, but it also taught not just that game, but Max Hall talked really, he was pretty insightful talking about how last year's Heisman hype and talk of him kind of affected him a little bit. And granted, they lost to Florida State, so maybe he's not exactly in the Bradford talk with Heismans. He is, but even if he were, he's not thinking about national acclaim or attention. He really spoke highly about enjoying every game with this team and how much they're so much more family now than any of his previous seasons, and how he just looks forward to each practice and each game with these guys. And Harvey Unga pretty much said the same thing too. So, you know, it's a tight ship coming in here to a very familiar Sam Boyd Stadium that could spell trouble.
Yeah, and, you know, let's before talking UNLV's side of this, let's talk about Harvey Unga a little bit. You know, this is a guy who missed the game against Oklahoma. And
left hamstring, yep.
Last year ran UNLV ragged. A lot of half, you know, sweeps out of the shotgun, a lot of draw plays, and he just absolutely abused them.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who I think, you know, is probably just as important to this offensive attack this weekend as Max Hall's going to be.
Boy, he sure was, because, you know, we can talk about Hawaii and Greg Alexander and the slugfest Hawaii had with UNLV, but what BYU has is that ground attack that Hawaii did not have. So,
they,
you know,
can mix it up.
Once you start growing, you know, going one if by air, two if by land, and really confounding defenses that way, that's when you really get them on their toes. And Harvey is just, you know, he's going to be the linchpin because, as we said, a hamstring kept him out of the Oklahoma game. But he told me he's at about 90% now, and that kind of changes on a day-to-day basis, depending on how much punishment he does, depending on how treatment goes. But you're going to see him right there, and he's one of the top guys in the country. He's a top 40 rusher, almost 87 yards a game. But of that group of 40, he has top 10 average numbers as far as average rush. He averages over 6 yards a carry. So he's going to be a bowling ball back there.
And that obviously is something that UNLV is not looking forward to facing. The Rebels ranking in the lower portion of the FBS in total defense, especially after last week, giving up 559 yards on the ground.
170 to three different players?
Three different players.
What was that like, looking at that?
Ugly, because the thing is, you know, not to harp on last week's game too much because we talked about it earlier this week on the podcast, but, you know, they did it by running the same plays left and right. A lot of fake handoffs by Kaepernick where he took off to the left and had tons of space to work with. And it reminded me of the BYU game last year where Harvey Unga picked up a lot of yards seemingly on the same play.
Right.
I guess this said, what do you think we should expect from BYU this weekend as far as, you know, do you think they're going to mix it up pretty good? Do you see them giving Unga a lot of work just after seeing what UNLV did last weekend? What do you kind of feel from them?
I could probably sense, I could probably, I could see him starting off with a running game that probably won't be easy to stop and really establishing themselves. Maybe slow going at the start, and then the fireworks come out, you know, when the holes open up and they really have UNLV's defense guessing. The defense has really blitzed Hall a lot more last year than they are this year. He said that he's noticing a lot more coverage, a lot more double teams and, you know, cover twos, even cover threes, you know, really trying to take the pass away from him. And so he's really being a lot smarter with his reads and, you know, looking at second looks, third looks. But I don't think it's a good combination for UNLV at all.
Yeah, and the funny thing is you mentioned the diversifying of the offense, you know, using Hall as much as they use Unga and, you know, kind of mixing and matching the two. The funny thing is that's exactly what UNLV didn't do last week. Channing Trotter came into last week's game with 295 yards on the ground in four games, averaging 5 yards a carry, was a proven weapon. He had 3 carries for 2 yards and 2 touchdowns. It was an odd stat line, and –
And it wasn't like Reno was pummeling him early to take him out of the game plan.
No, and the thing is, I think about it this way, looking in retrospect, UNLV had multiple chances to apply their running game and try and keep that UNR offense off the field because they obviously couldn't stop him. So what? I mean, they basically succumbed to a shootout early in the game. They basically said, okay, this is the way it's going to be. And succumb to that.
That's odd.
Which is really odd.
Remember the third quarter against Hawaii when they did that so well, keeping Hawaii off the field. Mm-hmm. So they had very recent history knowing they could do that.
Yeah. And so now UNLV is presented with a similar situation this week in the sense that do they apply Channing Trotter against this BYU defense and try to keep Max Hall and these guys off the field? Or if BYU gets that shot in early, do they basically just say, well, we're in a shootout?
There goes the game plan.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at the key of the game right there. Can UNLV control it and sustain it on the ground? But, boy, everything you look about BYU just spells trouble. They're number 18 in the country. They've won 21 of the last 25 games as a ranked team. So, you know, we alluded to it earlier, but they know Sam Boyd Stadium very well. Since 05, this will be their 7th game in this stadium. Hmm. You know, of course, they've been a mainstay in the Las Vegas Bowl. In those games, they're 4-2. It's going to be a lot of blue shirts in that barn on Saturday night.
And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, look, the Oregon State and Hawaii games, there was a lot of orange, there was a lot of green, but it was still a relatively neutral crowd.
Right.
I don't think we're going to see that this week, and that's because of, before we get to predicting this game, we got to talk about it. This is a program definitely in limbo right now, especially after last week. A lot of people calling for some action from Jerry Kolosky, the interim math director, Neil, I know I'm going to butcher his name, Neil Smatrisk, you know, the university president. Everybody's kind of weighing in on this. Let's weigh in on it. What do we look at as the forecast for Samford here in the next few weeks? I'm of the opinion that this team, I don't think they need to beat BYU, but they have to put up a fight at least. If this turns into an embarrassing loss, like last week's was, I think we could see some – I think the university might be pressed into taking some action.
It definitely, from the outside looking in, it appears that it's a program teetering, you know, and with one little breath from the big bad wolf or big bad cougar, you could see something going over the cliff, and it seems like some action would be necessary with another devastating game like last week. Internally, what's actually going on, who knows? You know, we will decide that. We're going to have a pretty big piece, not to give it too much away, but we'll have a piece detailing and giving some insight to that on Friday, so readers can look forward to that. Mm-hmm. We won't even tell you the subject because that's called a tease.
Yeah,
but
you did it well.
Thank you. It remains to be seen exactly. Let's face it, a move like that would take some guts.
Yeah.
Because it
especially
would
mid-season.
And it would cost the university more than it would otherwise in late December. We're talking about a program that is examining every single penny. That's not minor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there's a school of thought, too, there. If you're going to pull the trigger on something like that, you know, you better have a good plan B lined up. So, you know, is there a coach currently on the staff who could be an interim the rest of the way? You know, a few names have been bandied about, but we don't have to go there, you know. I don't exactly disagree with with Sanford that, you know, it's – granted, he knows he's in this business and it's very public and, you know, for family to read about, you know, your status in the paper, yeah, you know, that's very unsavory. But you know what? You chose this business.
Yeah.
And in many other parts of the country, there are a lot more harsh things
that are
said about coaches who do not have
coaches who have winning records.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting next week or two. I say let's keep the jury out of the courtroom for the next week. Let's see what happens Saturday. Let's see if they've learned something this week. You know, because, my God, after last week, you better learn something this week, and you better be teaching something, too. I talked to Kyle Watson today, and he said, you know what, it's been a bit of a test. It's tough getting a game like that out of your that bitter taste out of your mouth. But, you know, he was, I don't want to say upbeat, but let's say he was positive today before practice that you know what, they're learning some things, and they're very hopeful for a better turnout Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess if there is some silver lining here, it's that last year, you know, Reno came into Sam Boyd Stadium and won 49-27 in very convincing fashion in a game in which they pulled away late. And UNLV appeared to learn some kind of a lesson because the next week playing Air Force, who wound up going, you know, 9-3 in the regular season, or 8-3 in the regular season, 8-4 in the regular season, you know, UNLV led them in the fourth quarter. So, they haven't let a humiliating loss get to him in the past. We'll see if it does this week. But boy, it's hard to think that. I mean, I don't think either of us is going to pick UNLV to win this one.
No. You know what? I was thinking about that earlier today too. You know, we were talking in the preseason on a podcast about we were trying to digest it all, what they have coming back, what the opponents look like. I think we came to the conclusion that you were better off taking the over in many of the games. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I think this, you know, we were pretty dead on. Mm-hmm. You know, the defense has a lot of holes. There's going to be a lot of scoring, and I think there's going to be a whole lot more fireworks on Saturday. You know, we'll probably get to predicting scores and a victor here, but you know, I'm leaning most heavily, as I have previous weeks, to the over. I haven't even seen the number. I don't care what it is.
I haven't either, but I do know that UNLV's hit the over in three of four games this year, including their last three.
Right.
So,
you know, if it's 70, I'm taking the over.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now here's the question. Do you think BYU scoring 60 of those points, or is UNLV making it
you
a
know,
battle?
That's interesting, Ryan, because, you know, they're not full power. Mm-hmm. Max Hall doesn't have one of his best weapons,
McKay
Jacobson. He has a pulled hamstring, and he's going to be out for a while. He's a weapon, and Max talked yesterday about, you know, being a little, he's a little concerned, just a little that, you know, without McKay, are they going to be able to stretch the defense? as much as they like to. He's confident in O'Neal Chambers and Luke Ashworth, but it obviously would be better to have all three of your aces there. That being said, you know, those other two guys are pretty capable, and with Harvey Unga setting the tone on the ground, you could see just enough disparity to keep UNLV's defense guessing.
Yeah, well, that said, let's get to some predictions. I think we're both in agreement that this one's going to go over, whatever the total is. We haven't seen one yet. But the interesting number here is the line is 16.5. Do you think that's pretty fair, and what are you picking here? I think it's a fair number.
I think it is fair because, you know, we were even talking today about how there have been some games in the recent past that UNLV has pulled out of their hat that has been really interesting. You know, we look back to that game against Utah a couple years ago, 27-0 Rebels, and I don't think many people would have predicted that. That was a very good Utah team, and they shut them out. So, you know, we've seen this team rise to some conference foes and, you know, match them headbutt for headbutt. I'm not too sure that's going to happen this week. You know, I said a total of 70. I'm not so sure if that should be a side sucker bet on BYU total points.
Wow.
Because if a bad Reno team can put up what they did, well, BYU maybe don't have all eight cylinders, but seven will be good enough to put up quite a bit, you know. I'm probably going to go with something like 59-13 BYU.
Wow. Okay. Now here's the bonus question. Does UNLV appear in the second half to quit if this one gets out of hand? Do you think this team has the I don't even know what the word would be, but do they stick with it at the end, or does it start to look like that Reno game where, you know, I'm not saying guys quit, but it just it falls completely out of hand? Is this a sound beating, or does it just collapse?
Well, and to be fair, it wasn't a complete laydown in the second half. You know, they played well for 45 minutes plus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm not going to predict here one way or the other that this team's going to lay down and give up in the second half. That's pretty harsh words.
Yeah.
I do think that whatever we see is going to be very telling of their character, and whichever way it goes, we're going to be examining very closely Saturday for Sunday.
I'm going to say 45-28 BYU. I think UNLV will get its shots in, but defense has to show me something before I can predict them to stop anybody, especially of this kind of caliber.
Probably the one most worrisome thing is that this is a BYU away game, but it will be more like a home game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be about a 60-40 crowd, maybe 70-30.
Yeah.
Well, any final comments before we buzz out of here for the remainder?
Boy, man, I'm about to go get two more double cheesy burritos. They are so good.
Well, hopefully you're still alive to make it to the game on Saturday. For Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green. For all coverage leading up to UNLV-BYU, during UNLV-BYU, and after UNLV-BYU, LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. That's where you can find us on the regular. For Rob Mish, this is Ryan Green. We'll talk to you later.